and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is the one, the only, Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm the ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion and an award-winning journalist. So supposedly, allegedly, I'm supposed to know something about boxing. But guess what? The average fan knows more. So I give you the opportunity at the top of each hour, once only, here is a toll-free, 1-800-878-7529. The toll-free listener line, once again, you want to impart, you can. 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text me here in the studio. Please, lay off the four-letter words. The text line, I'm just kidding, 415-275-1613. That's right, the Ring Talk WBC TV text line here in the studio. That number is 415-275-1613. Of course, boxing coming up on the first of the year. Pay-per-view. They should pay you to watch this. That's what I think it is. It says pay-per-view, so they're going to pay you to watch this TV card on January 1st. I kid you not, it's on pay-per-view. Luis Ortiz, the Cuban exile, taking on Charles Martin, the guy that's, you know, a fair fighter out of L.A. But the bottom line is, they're going to put this on pay-per-view. And guess what? The promoters are feeling so benevolent, they're going to pay you to watch this. Because they can't be talking about charging you to watch this. So they've got to be paying you to watch this. Pay-per-view, they're going to pay you to watch this. Pay-per-view, I'm not paying to watch it. Get me? January 1st, talk about that in depth. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and a little bit of MMA as well. Of course, Ring Talk is live. It's brought to you by the WBC. Check out their interactive website, WBCBoxing.com. Listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline. Check it, 12 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. You might be watching us delayed on VTV. Of course, they are giving us a Tuesday time slot. We thank them for that. You are listening to our tuning. You are tuning in to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 37, make that 38-plus years now. You talk about podcasts, I was the first show on the Internet. That's right, the first show on the very first show on the Internet. In fact, when they told me you were on the Internet, what are you talking about? What do you mean the Internet?
You're in the World Wide Web.
You're on the web. Well, what does it mean I'm on the web? I couldn't figure that one out, okay? Eventually, we did figure it out. Obviously, now we're in 160 countries. The fabulous Internet is just amazing, no doubt about that. But I was referring earlier, before the break, about Luis Ortiz. He's like 99 years old. He's a Cuban southpaw. Of course, he's like 32-2, got a good record, been stopped those two times, 27 KOs. I think Deontay Wilder beat him up. But outside of that, he's not a bad fighter, okay? But to put him in the pay-per-view main event against a guy by the name of Charles Martin, who really doesn't bring a whole lot to the dance other than, I think, Henry Tillman, the 1984 Olympic gold medalist, trains him. Outside of that, not a whole lot there. So put this on pay-per-view, you got to be kidding me. But guess what? In order to have a good pay-per-view card, you usually have a good supporting cast, right? Unless you got a super main event. So when you don't have a super main event, you need to have a good supporting cast. Well, Frank Sanchez and Carlos Negron, Johnny Rice and Miguel Coffey, that's going to be a rematch, I guess, the second time. Gerald Washington. How old is Gerald Washington? I said it before, and I'll be repeating myself, but Gerald Washington is like, he was a cruiserweight at one point in time. He's older than George Washington. I kid you not, as far as boxing is concerned. He's taking on a guy named Ali Demarez, and Victor Frost is going to be on the card with Ego Cladise. It's an all heavyweight card, January the 1st, on pay per view. I guess if you like to watch heavyweights, you can watch them here, but these guys are a bunch of heavyweight slobs. I'm sorry, just gotta tell it like this. Speaking of slobs, Dana White, my favorite guy, you know that. You know, I love him. You know, me and him go back a long ways. Of course, I remember when he came to Las Vegas, when the mob ran him out of Boston. What happened was Whitey Bulger, then the mafia head who got killed a couple years ago in prison. But he was a guy that was on the run for like 10 years, and they caught him living a few miles from Larry Merchant down there in Santa Monica, California. Anyway, so Whitey Bulger goes to Dana White's running a boxing gym in South Boston. I think it was South Boston, a little boxing gym. And Whitey's people go to him and say, listen, you got to start paying us protection money. We're the mafia. We're the Irish mob. You got to start paying us. If you don't start paying us, we're going to like beat you up. And Dana goes, hey, you know, I don't have $2,500 a month loan to give you, let alone $250. So you must be out of your mind. Get out of here. So he throws them out of the gym, and then they sort of like getting rough and this and that. So they got rough and they threatened him, and they threatened his life to the point where he went out to Las Vegas. So evidently he took his last $25, whatever it was, whatever it took to get to Vegas back then in the 90s. So he gets on a bus or a plane. He flies to Vegas, and he meets the Fertitta brothers, Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta, who own the station casinos at that point in time. Of course, their money comes from illegal card betting back in the early 1960s, late 1950s, when they had illegal card clubs. Their parents and their grandparents ran these illegal card clubs in and around Dallas, Texas. So the Fertittas had deep, deep pockets, okay? So Dana comes out and he meets the Fertittas, and they come up with this notion to buy the USC. So they bought the USC thing off the for like $1.5 million. Man, it's got to be one of the greatest purchases and resales in the entire history of capitalism. Think about this: they bought it for $1.5 or $1.4 million, and they sold it for $4.2 billion. $4,200 million. That's what he sold the UFC for about 2 years ago to that conglomerate. So when I say, if you can get it, more power to you. But I thought that was a pink elephant. Anyway, Dana White, the piece of work that he is, I keep saying this, he's a piece of work because he is the pimp of all pimps. Listen, I thought Berry Gordy was a good pimp. What do you mean? Berry Gordy is the president of Motown Records. What I mean, I don't mean as a pimp, I mean pimping girls, but I mean as far as like writing pimp contracts. Berry Gordy wrote the best contract. Berry Gordy, Don King was said to have written some slave contracts in his time. He didn't like to use that word slave unless it was him being called a slave, him calling himself a slave, portraying himself as a slave. But the bottom line is DK wrote some slave contracts over the years, okay? And, it comes back to haunt you. It just comes back to haunt you, no doubt about that. But right now, we've got a world heavyweight champion. His name is Tyson Fury. He's got some emotional issues. We know he has. I mean, he's got the cocaine problems in the past. He was depressed. He went up to 400 pounds. People laugh when I said he was 400 pounds. He was. He was 400 pounds. I kid you not. So he's turned his life around, got his good lady, got a lady by his side and this kind of stuff, his wife, so he's happy and all that kind of good stuff. But he can't figure out what he wants to do as far as the Dillian White fight is concerned. I think Dillian White deserves a shot. He's been around a while. He beat Povetkin after Povetkin knocked him out, and I think that merits him getting another title shot. Now, a title shot against the champion. Now, whether that's going to happen or not, Tyson Fury says maybe not. Tyson Fury says maybe yes. So we'll have to see what happens. That usually boils down to money in my book. No doubt about that. Now, back to the UFC. They don't have any good cards coming up outside of one card. I think on the 22nd of this month of January, 22nd of next year, and it's going to be the heavyweight champion of the world. He's a bad dude. I'm talking about Francis Ngannou, man. He's a guy that just scares. He's just frightening. He's a monster. I mean, he's like 6'5", 6'6". He punches harder than anything I've ever seen in my life. And he's wearing 4-ounce gloves. So not only can he punch harder than anybody I think I've ever seen, because he gets good leverage on his shots. I kid you not. When he digs down into the canvas with them punches, you should see what he does with them. He just destroys people. I mean, outside of Stipe Miocic, of course, Stipe played his game and wrestled with him in the first round and got him tired. And, of course, you know, Francis Ngannou learned off that first heavyweight title fight. Of course, he came back and stopped Stipe Miocic in the rematch, but it was a one-sided rematch in which a guy that was so big he should have been arrested for, like, you know, beating up on a little guy. It was like beating up on a kid, juvenile, beating up on a juvenile. That's the difference in size between Stipe Miocic at 220 pounds, 215 pounds, and Ngannou coming in at the limit of 260 pounds. It was like a mismatch, no doubt about that. Should have went down that way the first time, but Stipe, a little smarter than Francis Ngannou at the time, and he was able to outsmart him and win a 5-round decision. Now, Ngannou's going to fight a guy by the name of Gane. That's what they call him, G-A-N-E. The guy can fight. The guy's undefeated. The guy's a monster. The guy's another 6'5" guy. In other words, I was saying that Francis Ngannou could never, ever be beat. Not in this era. I said, but look at these guys. He can't be beat. Nobody could beat him. I don't think he can beat him. Well, maybe this guy can beat him. So that's a fight worth watching January 22nd on pay-per-view. And that's the only time I really want to endorse a pay-per-view fight with the USC, because of the fact that it's competitive, it'll be exciting, and I don't know who's going to win. When you get a coin toss, flip the coin up and down, we'll see who's going to win. That makes for a good heavyweight title fight. Outside of that, I'm not a big USC fan, and most of you know why, because of the fact that Dana White doesn't pay his guys, and you know, you listen, when you get elbowed in the head, and you've got a buzz in your ear for like 3 months, and you're only getting 10 grand, and yet you're walking around with a buzz for 3 months, something's wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Something's wrong. When your company makes $279 million in the year 2019, okay? $279 million, and you only pay the fighters about 10% of that, $27 million, something's wrong. Something is fundamentally wrong with USC. I can't believe there's some antitrust lawsuits haven't been filed. In fact, they have been filed. In fact, there was one suit against the USC that was filed by a bunch of ex-fighters, including my boy Kyle Kingsbury, you know, where they stated that the USC forced them into fights that they didn't want to take, or they had to take, or they fought injured. I mean, this Dana's a piece of work, man. All Dana wants to do is, listen, I understand the show must go on. I throw a show, okay? But not when you're involving human beings. You can't put people that are hurt in the fights, people that are not ready in the fights. And as far as fights are concerned, you know, the guys that win these USC fights are losing. And why do I say that is they're taking, you don't win in USC. Listen, when they used to send me down to the Valley, wink, wink, when he sent me down to the Valley, and Otis would say, we want you to go down the Valley, you're going to fight this guy, blah, blah, blah. And I go, okay. And, you know, I went down there and I fought these guys, and they were overmatched and this and that. And it was a way that, sort of I got to the different bouts, different tournaments, things like that. That's the way it was done, okay? But at least I went down there and I fought the guys, okay? You have to fight in order to get things done. Now I'm seeing a whole lot of guys coming at me with some shots here saying, you know, that was a long time ago, but today is now. The fight game hasn't changed any. I mean, the fight game hasn't changed any. The fact that the number one promoter in boxing is still Bob Arum at 90 years old, that says something about the fight game not changing. I mean, think about this. 1958, graduate of Harvard University. He was considered tops in his law class, cum laude or whatever that award is. But he got that award, I kid you not. And now, take that back. Then he went to work for President Kennedy. Bob Arum went to work for President Kennedy. Actually, he was part of Robert Kennedy's Justice Department. He was an attorney general. I kid you not, United States attorney. So he got the boxing bug. How he got afflicted by the boxing bug was he went to see the Floyd Patterson-Sonny Liston fight, and I think that was in 1962 in Chicago, Illinois, at the White Sox Stadium. Anyway, he went to see the fight because of the fact that he was working for the federal government, and he was an accountant. So he was counting the money on the pay-per-view receipts, right? When he realized all the money they were making in boxing, Bob Arum said, I got to get rid of this government job, man. I got to become a boxing promoter. And of course, a couple years later, that was 62, a couple years later, he's working with Muhammad Ali in 1965. He was very pro-Ali when Ali was, of course, exiled from boxing and banished from boxing by the boxing commissions across the United States when he wouldn't go into the Vietnam War. Of course, remember what he said, you know, you're going to use my name to lead other young men to slaughter. I'm not going to let you do that. And because of that, he paid a price, 3.5 years of his prime, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look in the world of boxing. Next up, Primetime Eddie Krall, B Street Boxing Extraordinaire, Mr. Trainer Extraordinaire himself. Next up on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have they have the upside in the pay-per-view, you know?
You see what I mean?
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
As I look through the glass here at Sports Byline, my producer's freaking out. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing. We take it to B Street. Of course, B Street is in San Mateo, California, and that is the home of B Street Boxing and its owner, boxing trainer extraordinaire, Mr. Eddie Krall. Primetime Eddie Krall, how are you today? Merry Christmas, sir.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you too, Pedro. I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So what's the story with Shevchenko?
So we're still, I'm having difficulties getting a visa, so I can't go to Russia. Right now we're kind of, you know, working out how to get him into Germany right now. There's some difficulties with that too. So, but the fight's still right now on for January 14th in Germany against Caleb Truex.
Okay. We're talking about 30-year-old Evgeny Shevchenko. Why do I have a problem? I can't say this. Say the first name for me.
Evgeny.
Why do I have such a problem with that? I don't know. Anyway, so he's now, wait. Why won't they let you out of the country? You owe child support or something or what?
No. They'll let me out. So right now, you know, because like Russia put 100,000 troops on the border of Ukraine. Right? And so, you know, like we're putting pressure on Russia to withdraw troops. Mm-hmm. So they're just like, because of that, they're not letting any Americans in.
I understand. I guess Vitaly Klitschko, is he still the mayor of Ukraine, of Kyiv? Is he still the mayor?
Of Kyiv, yeah.
What do people think about him over there? Because overall, people.
You know what? I don't really get a good feeling that they're in total support. I think from what it sounds like, that, you know, it's a lot of people kind of think he's a joke.
Okay. You speaking of joke, Luis Ortiz is like 45 years old, is a Cuban heavyweight, taking on Charles Martin, who's like not an overachiever, no doubt about that. They're putting this on pay-per-view, calling it all pay-per-view heavyweight card. Frank Sanchez, Carlos Negron. Bottom line,
that's a joke.
Yeah, Gerald Washington taking on Ali Demison. Gerald Washington, I said this before, but he's older than George Washington. I mean, these guys are old dudes. What I'm trying to say is, are people that starved that this is going to make money?
You know what? I doubt it. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I don't want either.
I think that it might, hopefully it makes enough money to, like, pay the purses, right? You know, I don't want the promoters to take a bath, and I want the fighters to get paid. But, like, it's not going to be a money-making show.
Okay. I got a good one for you. Gary Russell's been on more milk cartons than he's been on Fight magazine covers. I'm talking about, of course, the WBC featherweight title holder. He's like missing in action. Is he really that talented?
Dude, I personally think so. I love the guy. I think it's a shame that he's inactive. I think it's a shame that he only fights like once a year. I remember in 2002. You know, I'd been gone for, you know, in New York, and I hadn't been training anybody for a couple of years, but in 2001, I moved back. In 2002, like, I brought a fighter to the National Golden Glove, and I was watching this kid hit the bag, and I was like, man, this kid's pretty good. And I, you know, go to him and go, hey, man, you got, you know, real nice technique, and I like the way you move, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out it was him, you know, Gary Russell Jr. I was like, dude, I'm talking to, like, the number one seed. And he already knows he's good, but I'm telling you know, so he probably was like looking at me like, whatever, OG. Thanks, sir.
But, you know, he's getting up there in age, in his 30s now, and he's making 126. To make 126 just once a year, that must be a pain in the you know what, because me, I'd rather make weight four or five times in order to get close to the weight you're coming from, not like once a year. Yikes.
Yeah, I can't tell, like, if he, you know, how he's really short, so. I don't know how hard it is for him to make weight. Although, like, you know, he's been rumbling about moving all the way up to lightweight, to 135, to fight, you know, Tank Davis. So, who knows, you know, like, how difficult it is for him to make the weight.
Okay. Good comeback fight, I guess, for both guys. Keith Thurman, once beaten. Mario Barrios, once beaten. Barrios losing to Tank Davis in the WBA 140-pound strap. Keith Thurman being a welterweight. These guys are going to fight at 147. Does Keith Thurman merit, does his ability merit the fact that he should return on pay-per-view, or is this another loser card?
Well, like, I think that right now, that, you know, just the boxing landscape requires for these guys to get the purses that they want. it requires pay-per-view, right? So, you know, I don't know what Mario got to fight Tank, but, you know, it was a pay-per-view fight, so, you know, he's expecting at least $1 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would think Thurman's expecting at least $3 million.
Time out, Eddie. What has Keith Thurman done for me lately? I mean, it's
nothing. Nothing. I agree with you. I totally agree with you, Pedro. I'm not saying that he deserves it.
Eddie, the guy smokes more weed than me and my producer put together.
I don't know.
No, he does.
I don't even know how much weed you guys smoke.
Well, all right. All right. Well, I'll tell you, like, we smoke a lot. Anyway, but I'll just say that he goes off into the forest. He takes a flute with him, and he goes off into the forest, and he smokes weed and blows a flute. I mean, this is not... I don't know too
many guys. You don't know that for certain.
No. Eddie. He's copped to it. This isn't a matter of contention. He's admitted it.
Okay, whatever. The guy was a really good fighter, was, you know, on his way to, you know, being one of the stars in the welterweight division. I felt like, I had always felt like he was a little overrated. Not because of, you know, what I thought he, I just thought he had more in him than what he was showing. So that's why I felt like he, you know, just a little overrated for what he had been doing. But I did definitely see a lot of ability in him. Now, he's been inactive, and Mario has been active, but, you know, he lost his last fight, and he's moving up in weight class. So, like, I don't know. I want Mario to win.
Okay. Fighter of the year. Does it deserve to be Oleg Usyk? Does it deserve to be Canelo Alvarez or George Kambosos? One of those three. Who would you go for of those three?
I would say Usyk.
You think
so? I thought what he did was pretty, you know, coming up as a cruiserweight and handling Joshua the way he did. I thought that was pretty incredible.
He gangster slapped him.
Yeah. I liked it.
You know what? And people don't appreciate this because, you know, they're used to slugging. But he faints with his eyes. He faints with his hands. He faints with his feet. He has all these different feints, man. That guy faints you into a different world.
Well, that's what I was telling. You know, people were saying, you know, there's no way he can win. What's he going to do? And I said, look, he's gonna. If he beats him, he will beat him with feints and footwork. That's what will beat him, and that's exactly what he did.
No doubt about that. So Kambosos upset over Teofimo Lopez, and he was a 13-1 underdog. You're not giving him any props for that, or what?
No, it's not that I'm not giving him props. That was a big upset win. It's probably 50-50 as far as, you know, did Kambosos, you know, really come out and take it, or is a lot of that stuff inflicted?
Eddie!
Hold on, let me finish.
I'm sorry.
You can't, like, just start jumping in here.
I'll just cry. Oh, I'm a Kambosos fan. Go on.
No. Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, like, I'd only seen Kambosos fight that one other time. Who did he beat? Leo Selby, I think.
Lee Selby
in England. So that was the only other time I'd seen him fight, and watching that fight with the, you know, the zone commentators just really being biased towards Selby, like you have to really watch the fight to see all the nuances and just to see how good Kambosos won, you know, or mm-hmm. what or how good he was. He won the fight, and the announcers were, you know, just kind of giving Selby every round. So it was just, you know, kind of difficult to watch.
Okay.
Right? So that was the only time I'd really seen him fight. Now, I also felt like, you know, Teofimo fought like the dumbest fight ever. Come on, man.
Yeah, and he lost. And his father is the dumbest trainer in the history of boxing. Eddie Croft, happy holidays. We'll see you soon.
Man.
B Street Boxing, San Mateo, California. That's what my man runs. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide and WBC TV. Let let my boys harmonize a little bit here. Guess who? Tower of Power, 2007. Larry Braggs on lead. Larry Braggs was a lead singer. I think he won, like, We Got Talent, won that TV show, We Got Talent. And then he was performing with a band called Executive Suite. And they were on playing on Fisherman's Wharf. And Executive Suite was run by a guy named Jose. And Jose, I knew Jose well. Jose used to give me, like, I think 10 or 15 or 20 bucks, 25 bucks in free drinks to, like, introduce his band. You know, have sort of have an MC for his band down there. So Larry Braggs was part of the band. He was the lead singer. And he could sing, okay? So Tower of Power was looking for a lead singer. And Jeff Tamalier was, me and Jeff Tamalier were on the phone. I said, you need to check out this guy, Larry Braggs. He's playing with Executive Suite. I said, this guy's won a couple of TV shows. He can really go. And they're going, oh, yeah. Anyway, he got the gig. He was there for 12 years. And I never got a finder's fee. Larry, I'm still waiting for my finder's fee. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Some fights of the year, as far as candidates were concerned. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder 3, that was a decent fight. Callum Smith and Lennon Castile, I don't think so. Jake Paul and Tyrone Woodley. Listen, people are saying that was a fix. Do you know who's saying that? Boxing people. You know why? Because they're jealous. They're just jealous. That's all there is to it. They can't imagine this guy filling arenas, 15, 16, 17,000 people selling out in the blink of an eye, doing a couple million homes on pay-per-view. I mean, give him his props. And not only is that, he's spreading the money around. Jake Paul gave Amanda Nunes $275,000 a fight last week. $275,000. That's what she made. Holy cow. She's probably made, maybe it's a push. Maybe she's made $25,000 or $30,000 in a fight. Maybe. This time she gets 275 grand because she was fighting under Jake Paul. So Jake Paul, I think, is very good for boxing. As far as the knockout of Tyrone Woodley, the former UFC champion, as far as that face first knockout, that was a stone cold knockout. You just can't fake that, man. He was concussed. I mean, separated from his senses. He was falling like it was all over, like he was dead. Okay? Boom. And people are saying, oh, it was a fix. The only people that want to say that are the boxing people. They're envious of this guy's ability to draw. Yeah, he ain't the greatest fighter in the world. He probably is going to be, like, in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. Maybe he will be. Who knows? But he's probably not a candidate based on talent for the International Boxing Hall of Fame. But he's doing real well, and he's feeding people. That's right. He's feeding people. So when you're feeding people underneath, you're the man. I got to give him props. I mean, I never heard of Mike Tyson giving anybody on the undercard big amounts of money. When he threw $1 million at the undercard of that first fight with Woodley that took place earlier in the year, when he won a disputed decision. This time he knocks Woodley out. But when he won that disputed decision, he took $1 million. He spread it out underneath the undercard. So if you got, if you got 10 fighters on the undercard, and they're getting a split of $1 million, that means they're getting $100,000 each. That's probably a whole lot more than they ever made in their entire life. So Jake Paul is good for boxing, no doubt about that. Now, Keith Thurman and Mario Barros, February 5th, I got a text on this one. Yes, they are fighting on pay-per-view. This is Al Heyman's move. And, of course, Al Heyman and Floyd Mayweather are joined at the hip. But I have to say that Keith Thurman, of course, he's been off a long time. He is the natural welterweight. Mario is moving up in weight, having lost to Tank Davis. Still, it's a pick'em fight. February the 5th, also ESPN Plus. Jose Ramirez, a former 140-pound champion, taking on Jose Pedraza. That's going to be a good fight at 140. No doubt about that. But the fight of the year is going to be Canelo Alvarez versus who in May? He wants to fight this Kabuku guy. Of course, he's the WBC cruiserweight champion who's got a fight in January, but he wants to fight him at a catchweight fight in May, probably in Mexico. But, you know, I'm not all that high on that fight because what's it going to prove? I mean, maybe you can beat a guy that's bigger than you? Okay, I'm willing to go down with that, but is it really that exciting? You know, Canelo wants to do this in front of the Mexican fight fans, this and I guess he does. I guess he can call his own shots. I guess he can call his own shots and have a fight in Mexico because he has been boxing's darling boy, no doubt about that. And speaking of darling boy, he was handing out toys on Christmas Day in Monterrey, Mexico, in the area around Monterrey. So props to him. Who was missing from the toy and the turkey drive this year was Don King. Every year, up until last year, Don King used to make a big scene out of giving away turkeys on Thanksgiving. He would buy like 10,000 turkeys, I kid you not, in different cities. And we go, and he goes, one year I went with him. We went to like four or five different cities, and he's like, you know, giving turkeys away. And it's a big PR campaign for Don King, no doubt about that. And at the same time, he's writing off on taxes. And at the same time, the hotels are giving him free rooms, all this kind of good stuff, in order for him to come and do that at their hotel. I kid you not. So Don was just a master. Anyway, 91 years old. He's not doing things. But the other 90-year-old guy is, I'm talking about Mr. Bob Arum. So props to Bob Arum. May he have a great, great 2022 as far as his 91st year is concerned. Props to Bob Arum. Some other fights that could have been fights of the year. Oscar Valdez, of course, taking out Miguel Berchelt. I didn't think so. I thought Berchelt was competitive, but it wasn't like the fight of the year. The knockout might have been the fight of the year. I think that was a knockout of the year, but not fight of the year. Gabe Rosado and Bikin Mulas, I wasn't too hop on that one. I don't remember that. And Canelo Alvarez and Caleb Plant, would I call that the fight of the year? No, I wouldn't call it the fight of the year. No doubt about that. Now, ESPN Plus, that's where you want to go as far as your fight app's concerned. But the problem is, every once in a while, ESPN Plus has a fight, or ESPN has a fight, they don't put on ESPN Plus. You got to have both. I think it's sort of like, I thought if you had the Plus, you know, the app, the ESPN Plus, you would get anything on ESPN as far as all of their boxing was concerned. But that's not the case. The other night, I tried to tune in on my app, and it wasn't happening. And I don't pay for the internet. I mean, I pay for the internet, but I don't pay for cable TV. I went cordless about 5 or 6 years ago, and I don't miss the TV much. I really don't. What I want to watch, I watch on the internet, or I watch on delayed, or I watch Prime, or I watch live, this and that. But as far as missing the TV is concerned, that cable bill was $100 a month, man. Who needs to pay $100 a month? No doubt about that. It was a waste of my money. Now, pound for pound, we know the best fighter in the world is. Who is the second best fighter in the world? Is it Terrence Crawford? What is he, like 39-0 now? Of course, he's 34 years old, coming to us out of Omaha, Nebraska, of course. The kid from the hood. I mean, he is a hood guy. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he gets mean, he gets nasty. He trains well. He's dedicated to a sport. But is he the number two guy pound for pound? Is Errol Spence up there? Is Errol Spence, the 27-0, of course, what's he like, 31 years old? The welterweight title holder, of course, out of Dallas, Texas, an area. Of course, he flipped out of that car. What was it, 2 years ago now? Flipped out of that car at 150 miles per hour, suffered a brain bleed because you saw the brain bleed in his eye. So you know he suffered a brain bleed and concussion. So he suffered some internal injuries. He didn't walk away from 115 mile per hour crash or jumping out, being flung out of a car at 150 miles. You watch the videotape. I think you can get it on YouTube. Errol Spence is driving this Ferrari, the sports car, and he flips the car. And you see something fly out of the car, and that's Errol Spence flying out of the car. Okay, you didn't see his $10,000 handgun, though. He was drunk as a skunk, was booked for DUI. Jerry Jones got him off on that, Jerry Jones being the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. But Jerry Jones got him off on that. But he had a $10,000 handgun in his car. So he was drunk as a skunk, driving at 115 miles an hour, and he had a $10,000 handgun. Why do you need a $10,000 handgun? Think about that. It was a custom gun, a $10,000 handgun. Is he a hood? Is he a hood rat? I don't know. I thought Errol Spence was gay at first. When I first saw him, I said, is that guy gay? No, he wasn't gay. He's got a family. But is he a hood rat? Think about that, man. A $10,000 handgun. Why would you need a $10,000 handgun unless you were a piece of work or a piece of spit with an H? Think about that. Anyway, as far as he and Crawford is concerned, I think Crawford just beats him down. I just do. I think Terrence beats anybody at 147 right now. I had doubts about him before, of course, being the ascending champion from 135 pounds to 140 and now 147. I don't think he can go much further. He's talked about maybe going to 154 pounds and fighting at junior middleweight. I say, you know, get the fight with Spence. Spence is the guy that's holding this fight up. Spence is the guy holding this fight up. And the guy that I think is the unknown commodity at 147 pounds is undefeated Virgil Ortiz. What's he, 23-0, 23 knockouts, something like that. He's got a good record, fought good opponents. I think he's a tough guy. I think he brings it to the dance. He's well-conditioned. He might be the next generation of welterweights, okay? And I think that Virgil Ortiz might be the unsung hero on all these guys. I really do. Keith Thurman, forget Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman smokes too much weed. Too much weed. Listen, you smoke weed, you get relaxed when you smoke weed. Of course, sort of like getting laid, okay? You don't want your fighter getting laid. You don't want your, sorry, this is being truthful. But you don't want him getting, you know, having sex before a fight, real close to a fight. You don't want him on smoking weed either, because it just relaxes the spit out of him. You don't want a guy that relaxed. You want him on edge. You just do. You want fighters on edge. I mean, you don't want to fight them, fighters to the point where they're having panic attacks or anxiety attacks. But let me tell you, a little panic is good, because when you don't have any panic, You're sitting back in the dressing room thinking, I'm going to go out there and slaughter this dude, Juan Rodriguez. I beat the spit out of him in the gym. He was no match. I dropped him with a body shot and stood over him, like almost spit my mouthpiece down on the guy. So the guy had a lot to, the guy had a lot on the line, okay? Because I was going to kill him, right? I went out there, he beat the snot out of me. Because I wasn't scared of him. You have to be scared. You have to have panic attacks. Maybe not like Ryan Garcia's, to the extent of Ryan Garcia, of course, the champion, or at one point a WBC title holder. Now, what is he, 21-0 with 17 wax scores? He wants to talk about fighting Pitbull Cruz. He wants to fight the guy that Gervonta Davis just beat. Ryan Garcia, why would you want to fight a guy that just lost? Why would you want to fight a guy that just lost? Is that some type of barometer to you? The guy that just got beat up by Tank Davis, you want to fight him? How about fighting the guy that just won? Is it even in your vernacular? I mean, Ryan Garcia, I am one of your biggest fans. I think that you're a good-looking kid. I think you're smooth with the girls, the whole 9 yards. I like all that kind of stuff, man. And you can fight. You can punch. I mean, you can really punch. You're tall. You're rangy. You got good shoulders. You know how to roll your shoulders. A lot of ability. No doubt about that. And you can punch. Okay? But, you know, you play these punk-ass moves. You want to talk about fighting all the time. Talk about this. Talk about that. I'm tired of guys talking. In fact, you know, am I going to have to turn this, maybe change this show into really boxing talk? When I say boxing talk, is that they're all talking and they're not fighting. We need them to fight. Anthony Joshua, you're going to fight Oleg Usyk again. You're going to lose. So take your money, go away. You're done as far as your career is concerned. As far as the heavyweight champion is concerned, Dillian White and Tyson Fury should take care of Dillian White and set up the fight with Oleg Usyk. Now, Oleg Usyk is a formidable foe. Do I think he can beat Tyson Fury? Kenny Rainford, my boxing expert from the UK, Sir Kenneth, he doesn't think so. He thinks that Tyson is just too big and too massive. And I don't, you know, I think that if you can get, when we used to spar with big guys in the gym, big fat guys in the gym, like heavyweights and the same, we'd faint them. We faint them out of position. And once we faint them out of position, you can get in there and kick the snot out of them, okay? So I think Oleg Usyk could do that with Tyson Fury. Now, Tyson Fury will say, well, I'm not going to go for those feints. Yes, you will go for those feints because the feints are that good. They are that convincing. He can feint you out of your pants. Kid you not. He is the former cruiserweight champion. I think he won that WSIS boxing series as well. I'm talking about Oleg Usyk from the Ukraine. And guess what? They could do this anywhere in the world. If Tyson Fury wants to do it in the UK, do it in the UK. But eventually, this has got to happen. You take care of Dillian White first, and then you go fight Oleg Usyk after Oleg Usyk beats up Anthony Joshua for the second time. And am I willing to bet on that one? I don't bet much in fights, but I think that's a fight you can bet on. Oleg Usyk over Anthony Joshua in the rematch, maybe by knockout. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide and WBC TV, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Big happy birthday out of the break. When we come back, you are tuned to Ring Talk and WBC TV. We're on the air, and it's a happy birthday Beatles song, of course. Freddie Martinez, Alfredo Martinez. Guess what? He is the brother of Hector Martinez, he's a good friend. I've known him a long time. But here, Freddie was Roberto Duran's co-manager and Roberto Duran's later years. But he's done all kinds of stuff, promoted boxing, promoted sports, this and that. I mean, so today's his birthday, but I got to say this. One time we were in Vegas, and he went to rent a car. I said, Freddie, go rent a car for us. So we went and rented a car. He rented a car with no air conditioning. It was Las Vegas in the summertime with no air conditioning. Man, I couldn't believe it. But the car was a convertible, so that was sort of pretty cool. I remember driving up and down the strip playing Smooth Operate Sade with Freddie Martinez. So Alfredo Martinez, he calls himself, when he wants to do business on the phone, and I'm Hispanic, I know what he's talking about, he calls himself Fred Martin. I kid you not. And when I call people on the phone, I call them, tell them I'm Alistair Martinez sometimes, or Alistair Martin. In other words, you change things up. Sometimes you don't want to be so Latino on the phone. Fred Martin, happy birthday, Fred Martin. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Want to mention next week, President of the World Boxing Council, Mauricio Sulaiman, will be here. We'll spend some extended time with El Presidente. And I want to mention my fighters of the year. These are my fighters of the year, male and female fighters of the year, okay? George Kambosos, without a doubt, fighter of the year as far as the males are concerned. I mean, the world lightweight champion. Give him his props. He took apart Teofimo Lopez from the first round on. Of course, Teofimo, a 13-1 favorite. And the other one is the world 105-pound champion, Cienesis Estrada. She's 22-0 with like, I don't know, 9 or 10 knocks. She can really fight, man. She is the real deal. She's like a combination of Muhammad Ali and Oscar De La Hoya in a female as far as her attitude and her directive is concerned. She's got a good attitude, and she can fight as well. So those are my fighters of the year for 2021. Maybe you've got another opinion. You can always shoot me a text anytime, 24/7, here in the Ring Talk Studios. The text line, 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. And don't forget, next week, a boxing spectacular on television. The promoters are going to pay you. This is pay-per-view. That's right. Pay-per-view. They're going to pay you to watch it. That's how bad it is. Luis Ortiz and Charles Martin in the main event, Frank Sanchez and Carlos Negron in the co-main event, and a bunch of other old heavyweights, including Gerald Washington, an all-heavyweight card, January 1st on pay-per-view. But guess what? You don't have to buy this. It's so bad, they're going to pay you to watch it. So watch your cable companies and figure out how they're going to do this, but they're going to pay you to watch these fights. That's how bad they are. I kid you not. Anyway, outside of that, no boxing really until the second week of January 2022. Until next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Most importantly, don't forget, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated, but as you can see, hardly duplicated. 37 make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. And, of course, I am the modest one, Pedro Fernandez. Don't forget, this is WBC-TV, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you delayed every Tuesday on Viva TV. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. This is Sports Byline.